What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Compressed FM, a podcast all about web development and design with a little bit of zest. In this episode, we are going to talk about making the web weird again with our guest, Ben Holmes. My name is James Q. Quick, and I am a full-time technical content creator.
Hello, my name is Amy Dutton, and I'm the director of design at Zeal.
Web development and design, who would have guessed? Well, we can do them both, even add a little zest. So turn up the volume, get ready for the best. Let's get it started in this episode of Compressed.
And today we are joined by two amazing sponsors in Hashnode and Daily.dev. Hashnode is an amazing place for developers to start a blog, and Daily.dev is the perfect place to find relevant articles in tech that you're interested in. More about them later on in the show. So today we've got Ben Holmes on as our guest. Ben, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming. Super excited to talk about Astro. Do you want to introduce yourself and tell people a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, totally. So hello, I am Ben. I am a core maintainer over at Astro. And on the side, I am a two online person that loves talking about tech on my whiteboard. So if you've ever seen a guy with a vertical whiteboard around, it might have been me.
Well, actually, I'm going to put this link in the chat. And then for people listening to the podcast version, WTW.dev.
That's the
one. And I hadn't seen this before, actually, which I'm flabbergasted that I hadn't come across it, but I am now subscribed and signed up. So I think it's, to clarify what it is it a video a week of you explaining something on the whiteboard?
Yeah, it used to be a video a day when I started it out because I was just trying to like get comfortable doing short form stuff. And I realized I have no time to refine anything. I'm barely scraping out iMovie edits. So let's like download Final Cut, get a little serious about editing, and do two a week. So for the past few months, however long it's been, it feels like it's flown by. But two a week talking about any real concept on the web. It's definitely not Astro specific. I'm actually making a point of trying all of the frameworks out there on my Twitch stream to like understand them, see what topics we can learn from it, and then distill it down to like little 1 minute bites that are on WTW.dev and also YouTube, Twitter. There's a newsletter if you like slow mail. All of that is available however you want to watch it.
I just subscribed as well. And from a design perspective, I have to say, I really appreciate when you scroll, that little color block at the top changes colors to match the video. Yeah. Very nice touch.
Oh, I thought because like it's whiteboard themed. It's like, well, what color should a whiteboard be? Well, it's markers. So anything goes. So just choose a bunch of bright colors, do a little Astro to like generate all the variables and then switch it on the back. So yeah,
very well done.
Thank you.
That does look super cool. I feel like you hear of somebody being a core maintainer of any project, to be honest. And I think like genius. Like, I don't want to make you feel awkward, but like, I feel like that's the perception of people.
Yes. I'll second that.
Yeah. We should probably get your perspective on you maybe saying, I'm just an average, I don't know what you're going to say, but I'm just an average developer, whatever. But I'm curious, like, how did you get to be involved with Astro? Like, how did you get started with that?
Yeah, totally. So it actually started through a Twitter DM. I was originally working on a project called Slinkity, which is an 11D plugin that helps you. Yeah, some recognition in the chat. Shout out to all the Slinkity fans. There's always like one or two that are just like lurking around. They know. I promised Slinky merch that never came, but it's still on my mind. But yeah, it was like this plugin to let you use React, Vue, Svelte, whatever you wanted inside of 11D, because I really liked it as like a static site generator. And I thought, I don't like Liquid, but I like the approach. Is there a way I can bring these tools I'm using elsewhere into this? And then I started digging into the Vue plugin that already existed, and I found this unreleased API to like add custom extensions. So I said, okay, let me just grab that, try to support other frameworks. Eventually turned it into an NPM package. It was my first NPM package ever, and it still kind of is. I don't think I maintain anything else. But I mean, it definitely got some attention because I did like little whiteboarding update logs on Twitter to keep people engaged, tell people what's actually going on, and also stay a little accountable. Like, I got to do something for the week to sort of bring the project a little bit more forward. And of course, Astro started coming up around the same time. I heard about it on Shop Talk and I was like, oh, that's too good to be true. And it wasn't. It actually was like, you know, it's taking that concept to 11. Like, you want to bring all these people who already know component frameworks, maybe Next.js people, and bring them to a more performant static site generator world. And I thought it did things maybe better than how I was doing it with Slinkity. It felt very tacked on, while Astro felt very focused on the use case. So Fred messaged on Twitter, like, I see you're working on Slinkity. Do you want to do something like that, but for money? And I thought, well, yeah, that does make sense. I mean, there was more like buildup and discussion than that, but it eventually turned into a full-time role at what is technically called the Astro Technology Company. So it is technically like its own company built around open source, which is rare, but growing. And it's really
cool. Awesome.
Yeah, you can actually get like paid to work on this kind of stuff, because otherwise it's just garage hacking to me. It's just a different project at this point with more stars. And I'm definitely like, humility moment, I'm definitely the least experienced person on the core team. Some people there have been around since like the beginning and know what the first commit was. And I'm still catching up on like, how does TypeScript work with generics and all this other fancy stuff that you have to learn fast as a library maintainer. But we're getting there. And it's definitely been super rewarding because everyone's so friendly.
Such a great learning experience. It's one of the things that I miss in my career right now is not having time around better developers. Not because I'm such a good developer, just because I'm not actually writing production code of any sense other than my demos and things, which are fun, and like the Discord bot for Learn, Build, Teach, which again is a ton of fun. But I miss that opportunity of just being around developers that have more experience and just soaking everything in and getting better myself just from being there.
Yeah, totally agree. It definitely doesn't end because I feel like everyone's as excited as the next person. So we're all just like growing together. And yeah, also like Nate working on a Go compiler, having to like learn what Go even is has been interesting because it is a little siloed right now, but there is an Astro compiler people can contribute to. So if there is that one Go fan in the audience, go check it out.
Nicely done.
Yes, intentional.
I was going to ask you, because you were talking about Astro Technology wrapping this open source. Is that all funded through sponsorships? How does that work?
Yeah. So some of it was like a formal seed round raised through investors, but there is also an open collective that people can contribute to. And that's of like, I guess, a nonprofit side where any money that comes in through that open source collective, and some of those are sponsors like Netlify and Vercel, that money goes straight back to the contributors. So every quarter, we actually have a little election. People say, like, here are the highlights of people in the community that have been crushing it. And it doesn't even have to be programmers. It can be just like, this person ramped out our Japanese translations on the docs, and they're a superstar. So we need to like give back to them.
That's awesome.
We just take that pot and we give it out to the community, and also donate to other open source, like Sustaining Vite, Sustaining Rollup, other projects that are sort of down the chain that honestly don't get as much love as they deserve, because stuff like Rollup powers literally everything. Mm-hmm. It's just so low level. You never even interact with it day to day. You just know it exists.
Yeah.
So we try to do that.
We had Max Howell on. James, I think you missed that episode, but he was talking about a use case with Web3 and packages to be able to track all these dependencies that people forget about. That, as you said, Vite and Rollup are powering a huge chunk of the internet and nobody even knows because it's kind of under the hood of what you're working on.
Yeah. I know, like, the maintainer of curl, like, sort of coming out, like, curl is literally what everyone uses.
Yes. Yes.
But it's hard to get that recognition and bring in more contributors and funding to actually maintain it full time, because that's probably one of the most important libraries I can think of on my computer. It's how I call anything. So yeah, shout out to anyone who's like working lower level.
I think that's part of that is a testament to the team at Astro, because it like that recognition comes from building community in a good way. And Astro is one of those things I feel like it looked like an overnight success. Like all of a sudden people were talking about Astro and I redid my site and then I started paying attention. Other people, like tons of people, were rebuilding their site with Astro and people were just loving it. And so I think that's like continuously talking about what you're doing in a good way, continuing to share about what you're doing. But also, like your videos earlier, I wanted to call out and appreciate this. Like you were like, this is not all Astro focused. Like I want to do my due diligence and try all these different frameworks. And like, I think I've got something in my teeth from my smoothie.
Yeah.
and like have an awareness of what the framework ecosystem looks like so that like you're that much more in tune with the community and able to bring back learnings and other things from other platforms. Anyway, I think like all the community stuff, all of the things that I see, hear, read has all been super awesome about Astro as a whole.
Yeah, seriously. And it's part of why I ended up joining too, is like, this was back in June or July that I heard about it. And at the time, Discord was actually the secret console log. If you opened the Astro promo page, like you had to know that there was a community, but I joined immediately. There was like, there's already support for them. People are already helping. And then it just kind of blossomed to just be bigger and bigger, but more and more people got involved along the way. It didn't, because I feel like with at scale, sometimes projects get a little opinionated, a little hard to contribute, and maybe people sort of don't help as well as they could. But I think we've, first off, having docs as its own repo and having docs managed by a separate group of people has really let that take off for anyone who's sort of afraid to contribute to core code. They want to contribute to core docs instead. That made people a little more comfortable, like join the community and giving back to it, which is kind of a two-step thing where if you feel like you're invested in it, then you're going to be a better actor on the Discord anyways. So we end up with like the support squad role, the docs role, maintainers that we have elected, all of that sort of trickles down into people feeling like they're welcome. So it kind of led to, I would say, the best tech Discord that I've been a part of. It was true when I joined it. It's kind of still true where you can just pal around with people in there like any casual Discord and also ask questions. So that's really awesome.
Amazing. We haven't quite done this and we're a few minutes in, so maybe we should. I want to get to the point of like part of the notes that you sent us was just like 1.0 of Astro, some things that have changed, maybe talk about like some future things or like where we're going type thing. But for people who just maybe haven't heard of it before, like what's the kind of quick intro overview to what Astro is?
Yeah, I mean, Astro is a way to build performant websites focused on marketing and blogs. So if you are building content focused experiences, you like Markdown and MDX, you want to bring whatever framework you have, React background, Vue, Svelte, whatever it is, Astro is the easiest way to build and host a site like that, both with static generation and with serverless, if you've been hearing about that. Also edge compute, if you want to build performant things there. But mainly if you're a content person and you want to deploy something really easily with some nice docs to guide you, I think Astro is probably the best framework out there right now for that sort of thing.
And I'll add on like my favorite kind of small nuggets. Astro, like you said, it's the best option for that stuff. It like definitively has been that for me as well for a few different things. The like add command. So if you want to add Tailwind, having a command to add that and other things like those add commands, it's a small thing, but it's like really, really nice. Also automatic support for Markdown. Like you just throw a Markdown file in there and not only can you parse that and display it as content, you can also just like instead of having an HTML page or instead of an Astro component, you can just have a Markdown file and now that's your page, like with page-based routing. And yeah. I was live on stream a few weeks ago and as I had migrated my previous site to Astro, I didn't migrate my courses pages and I was doing that and in the middle of it, I was like, it'd be really nice if I had MDX. And so like in 15 minutes, added MDX, converted stuff to MDX and had it all ready to go. So the support for just those basic things that almost, that is so common, like those scenarios that are so common, really nailing those experiences is the stuff that like stood out to me that I get so excited about.
Yeah, totally. And it's nice to work on something where you know the scope, you know your audience. It's not like, oh, our audience is anyone that uses React or anyone that uses Vue. The audience is, it's not about, you can bring any tool that you want, but it's about the use case you're trying to do. Like, you know, you're going to use content. We know a lot of people like managing content with Markdown. We also know people like external CMSs. So we have like a CMS guides page for everyone, including like WordPress and Contentful. So we're trying to put all of our focus really into that kind of use case so that when you come to it, you know what the framework's designed to do. And we address it pretty well, in my opinion. I've been managing the MDX side of things through the 1.0 launch. That was kind of like the part that I really wanted to feel nice. Because before this, we didn't have MDX support. We had like an Astro-flavored Markdown that let you import components into Markdown, but it was kind of stitched on. So we moved to MDX, thanks to like Nate Moore realizing like how easy it could be while still letting you use React, Vue, Svelte, whatever. And through that, we were like, you got to have Sheiky built in to highlight code blocks because people like that. You got to have front matter support so you can add layouts really easily without writing code. Like if you use MDX in the raw, you know there's some like special flavors that are missing when you leave Astro. And it's nice that we made sure all of that story was there. So if you want to like switch MD to MDX, you're done. You can keep your front matter, keep everything that you have going.
James, did you add any additional tooling like from Svelte or React or Vue when you worked on your site?
I actually, so, and we should maybe just emphasize this a second because we kind of said it, but maybe not specifically nailed it down. If you can use all these other frameworks inside of Astro, React, Angular, or Angular 2, Vue, Svelte.
There is a plugin, yeah.
Okay.
Well, and let's also say they can live next to each other, which yes. is crazy.
Yeah, it really is.
You can have a Vue component and a React component next to each other in the app.
And I remember Cassidy Williams actually did a presentation in our Discord about this.
Yeah.
That was early
several
on.
Several months ago. This was like way early to the point where I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. But I wasn't interested at the time until I was looking to migrate from Gatsby to Next.js. And just going through the process of setting up Markdown and code highlighting and a few other things. And then I heard people talking about Astro and I gave it a shot. I was like, everything just works. It was incredible. Going back to the question, Amy, that you asked. So am I using any specific React, Vue, Svelte components inside of Astro? Right now I'm not. So I'm just using like your basic Astro components, which I mean, it's such a nice, it just works how you expect it to work. Like there wasn't a whole lot of stuff to figure out. So like immediately writing an Astro component was 100% natural and defining my types for what like props would be and having that in TypeScript and stuff was really, really nice. So right now I don't think I have any specific components that are using an outside framework other than just the built-in Astro stuff.
Nice. And yeah, for those who don't know, Astro also has like its own templating language. So if you don't want to bring any components with you and you just want to author things in a JSX-like way with some niceties like class instead of class name, set HTML instead of dangerously set inner HTML __ if you just want a template that's like JSX with some of the weird stuff removed, that's what Astro is, and it'll run 100% on the server. So we don't help you with client-side stuff. That's where you bring in React. But if you don't need that, you can just spin up a little Astro component, write some markup, and import it into your Markdown, into Pages, into wherever you want. So it's a nice baseline if you just want to like build a site to get started.
Here's a great question in the chat. Jesper was just congratulating you guys on success. Seems like Astro is a great match for almost anything. The question is, in your experience, when not to select Astro for a project? And so personally, he's looking for SPA support.
And there's the question. All right. We're waiting for the SPA person. And my answer would be like, from marketing to blog to e-commerce, Astro does pretty well. E-commerce is kind of a expanding journey where you have all the primitives to build a great e-commerce site. And we just need to add more helpers to make it more streamlined, which is something that I'm really excited about. But anything beyond that level of interactivity, if you're getting into dashboards and Facebook levels of page refreshes and such, Astro's probably not a good choice. I'd personally like switch over to SvelteKit or something, where Svelte is actually kind of similar to Astro syntax. I like it a lot. But for anything else, I think Astro is probably going to be your best bet. And to the SBA comment, we have had sort of a lot of questions on, okay, I don't need React Router, but I do want to avoid a page refresh when I go from this to this so that it feels a little bit snappier. And that's something that has definitely been on the core's mind, roadmap. Where should it fit in? Is this a major release or when should it happen? I will say generally, we've heard the comments. We have actually proposed a couple RFCs that we've been mulling over. And it will come, I think, with just managing the page refresh story to make things feel snappy. But whenever it does emerge, whatever it looks like, whenever it is, it's definitely going to be built with like performance and minimal JavaScript in mind. You won't ship a 100-kilobyte bundle to have page refreshes. It should be like a minimal addition.
That's great to know that that's something that's already being, I'm sure people have talked about it, asked about it. It's great to see that it's already being considered. And I thought at some point, I have to go back and look at what the exact scenario was. I thought there was some sort of plugin that would do something similar, like to keep the layout of a page and then just swap out the main content like you would with other routers. But I'm not sure exactly what that was.
Yeah. So the only RFC I know of was one from Matthew for persistent islands, which basically means do a refresh for everything around an island, but keep the island in place. So if you have a counter and that count is 5, when I change routes, I want that count to still be 5. I don't want it to refresh, reload, react, and remount the island. And that was a cool idea. I don't know if it's something we would actually move forward on because there are other ways to treat routing fundamentally different, but it was a cool idea of like, you're really just worried about the page refresh and snappiness. You're not thinking about data loading and all that stuff because Astro already helps you. So it should be minimal, whatever it is.
Someone mentioned the transitions API. Is that similar?
I'm curious what that is because I know that Nate put out like a sort of interesting idea for how nested routing and page refreshes could work because he's also created a library called Micromorph that diffs two pages and changes the part that need to be changed. So it's a really cool library if you just want to like stitch it together yourself in an Astro project. I've done that just for a nerd moment. It's pretty fun, but that's definitely not in core. I know that PR was kind of closed to look into the problem, treat it a little bit differently. So we'll see where we end up. I don't want to promise anything on this stream. Just know that it's on our minds. It is something we're really curious about.
Fair enough. And today we are joined by two amazing sponsors in Hashnode and Daily.dev. Hashnode is an amazing place for developers to start a blog, and Daily.dev is the perfect place to find relevant articles in tech that you're interested in. More about them later on in the show. Thinking about 1.0, when was the 1.0 launch? And what were some of the things that changed or got finalized at 1.0 that maybe were different from a few months before that?
Oh, yeah. We did have an extended beta period where we were trying a lot of things out. The MDX support was a big one that came in for the 1.0 release. And MDX is still technically like pre-1.0, although it's something that a lot of people use because there's a lot of use cases. Another one was the experimental image plugin. So if you want a nice image component that can preload your images, crop them to nice sizes, make sure it loads like a WebP or an AVIF, like doing all those transformations for you. That's another thing that snuck in for 1.0. So if you're looking for like a Next image or Gatsby image substitute, we have one. But otherwise, things stayed pretty much the same around like, here's how Astro components work, introducing Astro add to make it easier to just add an integration from the CLI. You don't even have to edit your config file. I never edit my configs anymore because I just like type Astro add react and it just does it for you and installs dependencies. But yeah, everything else like the routing story also stayed the same through all of the kind of layout turbulence that has been happening in other frameworks. It's interesting because those address more of like an app-like use case. But I'm really happy that we stuck with a lot of the core APIs that people were excited about, like when Cassidy was trying it or you were trying it earlier, because it just kind of works. It keeps things simple, which is definitely a strength.
Absolutely. I mean, that was the story for me over and over again. It's like, holy shit, it just worked. I didn't do anything. Like, to be able to repeat that so many times in one experience was pretty amazing and definitely got me very excited about it.
Nice. Good stuff.
I always have this question because I don't know as much about how this stuff works. So like thinking about funding for Astro and support from the community, having gone through a funding round, is there like a monetary part to Astro coming? Is there like a cloud dashboard or a deployment or consulting? Or like, is there, what's like the make money strategy with Astro?
Yep. And it is still developing.
Yep.
So right now it is
there's
like
a swag store coming, James.
There's a swag store coming. That will save us.
I forgot about the swag store.
Buy a million beanies and we're done. But yeah, I mean, we are running off of a funding round right now. I know that we're very focused on just keeping users happy and growing the user base to address everyone's needs, make sure, you know, everyone knows if you're coming from even more low code tools like WordPress. Like if you are trying to build a performance site, Astro is probably going to be your match for content stuff. So I know that's definitely the focus is building that user base. And outside of that, it's just building something that makes sense. It shouldn't be something that kind of feels antagonistic. It's definitely tough with open source where developers are especially sensitive to being sold to. They know that they're being marketed to. So you have to like, you know, actually bring something that brings value and don't lock things behind a paywall or some other problem that used to be freely available and open source. So one thing I can promise is like Astro Core as it exists, or just Astro Core in general, will always be like this open source free thing for people to contribute to and develop on. And it's just a matter of like building services around it that actually like take those needs further and meet you where you are building content stuff. So I'll keep it vague there, but that is definitely the focus that we want to have.
Totally fair. I accept vague. I know Astro is like, we think about it as like for static content and for marketing sites and blogs and that sort of stuff. And one of the things I started to look into, and I did it for a second and then just didn't continue with it, is like you can actually define server API endpoints with Astro, right? So in theory, can you just build a complete full stack application with Astro in that sense?
You totally can. And it's really cool with the SSR feature where once you flip it on, every page is an endpoint, is really how you can think about it. We have people, we actually have a surprisingly growing audience of people using the Node adapter and just building a standalone Node server that hosts every page basically as its own endpoint and just deploying it to AWS, wherever you want to dump it. But you can also deploy to Netlify serverless, Vercel serverless, flip it onto Edge Compute if you want. But like anytime you create like a index.astro or something, you can turn that into an SSR route, do whatever server logic you want at the top of the page. So you can like, did a form request come through? Was it a post request? You can read the JSON from that and then change the HTML response based on whatever the user sent in. So it's kind of like building those like servers in the 90s working with PHP where you just do some backend logic, return a template. That's literally all we're doing, but with, you know, all of the modern syntax that you're used to using, like React, JSX, all of that stuff. So the answer is totally yes. You can create both like JavaScript endpoints and also just use Astro files as endpoints where you can like return JSON if it's HTML request, or return like an actual Astro template if you want to return that instead. It's as simple as an early return in your front matter to just like return something else other than HTML. So it's super flexible to anyone who sort of unlocked that. I don't think we talk about it enough, honestly, because people still think, oh, that's the static site generator. And it's like, honestly, no. If you flip it off, it's just like an Express server now, but easier to make HTML.
Super cool. I think, and someone's commenting in the chat that Astro SSR is underrated. And I think that's true to your point. Like the awareness is probably something that could be improved of people just understanding this can do a lot more than just what you think of as like static sites and static pages. And that's something that I'm looking forward to experimenting with on my personal website as I maybe add some new features and stuff. Amy, I was going to leave the comment up to add that someone mentioned they'd love to see Astro being able to have both static routes and dynamic routes. So that was actually a question that I had, because I think once you enable SSR mode, you're out, like everything is SSR to your point. And like, so like if I have a page that's just marked down for a blog post and I convert that to now SSR mode, does anything change with that specific page? Like it's still just grabbing markdown stuff and returning.
It would as like a server endpoint, but I was waiting because I've got a great answer. We just merged an experimental feature to do this today, like an hour ago.
Oh.
So there's now a pre-render flag.
Announcement.
Yeah. So if you want to like enable SSR mode and you want to flip back to a static page, you put export pre-render equals true at the top of the page.
Cool.
And then it will pre-render that to HTML as if it's a static build. Of course, you know, SvelteKit is, I think, that exact same API. Mm-hmm. Going through a bunch of naming conventions, we decided, yeah, that just makes sense. Let's do that. So now you can pre-render stuff if you want to have a hybrid approach, which I think a lot of people do. Like right now, my whiteboard, the website, is a Vercel endpoint because I wanted to do short links really easily. Like you can go to whiteboardtheweb.com/42/TW and it'll take you to the tweet. And I thought that was just a lot of fun, but it's all like servers with caches. It'll be so great to delete all of my cache headers and just do pre-render true and I would be done. So it's kind of like on-demand building where, you know, you build it and it's pre-rendered. So there you go if you're looking for that.
Christmas is early. I know. I'm so glad that we got like, I don't know if this is an exclusive take, but like something that fresh to come onto the podcast.
It's really fresh. I'm actually trying to merge my own massive PRs and experimental release right after this podcast. So cool. Today is actually experimental day. Yes. We're trying to get stuff in for a minor release. So get excited. Yes. There will be like tweets and stuff going out. But yeah, I can also talk about a crazy experimental thing I've been working on for 2 months now around the Markdown and MDX story, which is...
Do it.
Yeah. So I just did a stream with Fuzzy, who's in the audience yesterday, showing off how cool it is. But it is a way to standardize how you import all your Markdown and also how you define your front matter. So today, when you create like a blog post, every blog post has a similar shape of like title, publish date, description, etc. And you can't guarantee, first off, that you filled out all those fields. Like you might write a new blog post, forget a front matter property, and you get a wacky error during build time that's like, can't read property of undefined, because you didn't check the front matter was right before you started building. So then you just get a weird problem. And a lot of people run into this, where they like define their TypeScript type, they cast whatever result comes from Astroglob or whatever they're trying to use to build a landing page. And it feels very loose. It's like, we don't help you in the same way that we help you with like AstroAd. So new feature called Content Collections lets you make folders of like Markdown and MDX documents, and you can define the shape of whatever's in that folder. So you can make like content slash blog, and then you can say, all my blog posts have a title, description, and publish date. And I need you to check that at runtime. And that's actually using Zod. If there are any Zod fans in the chat, yeah, you use that. And then you just get some magic types generated for you. We have a little type generator now. And when you make the call, it'll auto-complete to victory of like get collection, blog, dot slug, dot data, dot title. And it's all just there.
So, have you looked at content layer at all?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that was one of the things that I loved about that particular library is when you build your site on runtime, it tells you if there's any pages or Markdown files that are missing front matter. And that was huge for me because I had broke so many Gatsby builds because it was missing a piece of front matter that was hidden that I couldn't find. So that's awesome that you guys have a tool that will catch that for you.
Yeah. James is excited too. I love that.
I remember, so someone tweeted, either I saw an article or I saw a tweet about this in the last couple of days, and I didn't give it my full attention, but I remember with part of my attention being like, oh shit, that's cool. I'm excited about this. That's awesome. So this is an experimental PR that you're submitting today. Is that what you said?
Yeah. So it was an RFC proposal for a long time. It was accepted on our RFC community call, which you should all join, astro.build/chat. We do it every Tuesday where we actually like talk about the proposals that are out there and give it the floor to like talk it through, modify the PR based on people's feedback, and then go from there. So that was accepted. And now it's been implemented. It's behind an experimental content collections flag, and it will go out in a minor release. So you can try that out before it's baselined, I guess I could say. But yeah, it's going out. And to compare with content layer a little bit, it is a little bit more hands-off, where instead of configuring like, here's the glob path to all of the Markdown files, it's just inferred based on the folder name. So if you have source/content/blog, you can just fetch all the blog posts and it'll autocomplete everything. And we also use Zod, which is a fun decision, I think, that lets you like parse a date string to a date object or set a default value so you don't have to do null checks all over the place. You can just have like default description or default language if you're international and then just go from there. So a lot of strengths to using that, I think. And we have really nice documentation too. We went through 100 review commits, but we're here and it reads great. So that'll be going out too. I'm really excited about that.
Can I throw out another feature request relevant to that? I think based on what you're saying, this would be even easier to do, is a command that you can run to say, create new blog post, and it'll create a new Markdown file, stub out the front matter. Yeah. Is that something that people have talked about?
Oh, of course. It's something we played with a little bit.
So I'm not special at all. I'm like, I've got this brilliant idea.
It's so good though. It's so nice to hear it, because we've also had some ideas around like, what if you could reference one document from another and say like, this is an author and his name is James Quick. Mm-hmm. And then that pulls in all the information about James Quick for you to use.
So it's like a relational database.
Almost. We use database as kind of an analogy here, or content models in a CMS. It's kind of similar to that. But of course, this PR had like 100 changed files, and we said, let's scope it down. We're not going to do everything. But I think CLI is going to be like step one, because of course we have Astro Add. It feels natural to have helpful commands to like make a new collection, walk you through adding properties, and creating a blog post. We already know the shape. So yes, I'll take the nod as do it. We have some time before the holidays to play with stuff. So that might be the one little treasure trove to go after.
I was going to say, you can do a lot of that stuff with Plop, James. You have to configure it. It's not smart enough to figure out what your front matter is.
I've heard of Plop.
It's so good. Yeah. It's so good.
So I was going to reference that exact thing, Amy, from Brad. So Brad Garapi, if people don't follow him, go follow him and check out his content on Plop, which I think is where you got it from, Amy.
Yes. I'm going to share the episode that he was on where he's talking about it.
He's got scripts that do exactly that to generate templates.
Brad's episode where he talks about this is actually our most popular episode that we've had yet.
Is it really?
Yes. I wanted to take a brief minute to talk about daily.dev. First, I think we all recognize how hard it is to stay up to date with the latest and greatest within the tech community. But there are resources like daily.dev that provide a community-based feed of the best developer news, helping you stay current. Daily.dev aggregates hundreds of sources every few minutes and creates a personalized feed just for you according to your interests. So whether that's web dev, data science, or Elixir, anything you might be interested in, it has content for you. There is a web version of the product if you want to see exactly what the feed looks like. Otherwise, just go over to daily.dev and there's a link directly on the homepage to install their extension within your browser. From there, anytime you want to load a new tab, you'll see the newsfeed. James and I both have it installed and use it to stay current ourselves, and so should you. So go check it out at daily.dev. Special thanks to daily.dev for being a Compressed FM sponsor.
So, question about front matter. Has anyone ever used the front matter extension in VS Code?
Oh.
Nothing more than a syntax highlighter. So no.
Okay. So there, I don't exactly know what it does, to be honest, but I think it is an extension of VS Code that does something similar to what we're talking about, although I'm not 100% sure. And I installed it like a month ago with the intention of like, I should use this and see how it works. And I haven't yet. So if anybody out there has used it and knows exactly what it does, send me a message and enlighten me. Otherwise, maybe I'll get to it eventually.
If you go to the repo on GitHub, it says front matter is CMS running straight in VS Code?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to, that looks amazing.
That sounds right. Because we've definitely heard that like, okay, step one, you can throw an error that tells you exactly what to correct. Step two, show it in the editor of like, you should just tell me your title's missing.
Yep.
And we have some amazing language tools for Astro files. Shout out to Erica. That's been kind of growing forever. And it would be cool to expand that to any kind of content you're authoring with Astro. Like if we know you're in the content folder, we know you're using Astro, let's just infer what the front matter is supposed to be and help you autocorrect it. And I think this might have been the plugin because someone brought it up. It's like, we could totally do that with linting. And it seems like a lot. I'm intimidated by VS Code extensions, but like if it's easy to do or if it's even possible, I would love to go after it because that seems like the next step.
Yeah. Yeah, are you saying you're intimidated by extensions in general or like creating an extension? Okay, yeah.
For sure. I made my own VS Code theme and it was so much. Mostly around like making the Microsoft account and getting it up there. I have like an Obsidian note of like 10 steps to take to make sure you do it right. And I'm glad I wrote it down because I know I'm going to reference that at some point.
I may need to borrow that. So I actually have a few extensions that are out there. And the documentation was never as helpful as I thought it would be for creating an extension, like especially beyond like a one. But fun fact, I will have a VS Code theme soon. That's actually what Amy and I are going to meet. Well, meeting about design in general, but after this podcast.
Oh, that's cool. I should shout out, we have an Astro theme too. It's called Houston. Somehow Houston was not taken as an extension name. And Houston's our little mascot. He's like the little guy that talks to you when you run Create Astro. And it has a little Houston embed that gets more and more sad as you make syntax errors.
That's so awesome. Good.
So he gets really upset if you have spell check on. We learned that over on the screen, but it's just by file. So he just wants you to be right. Okay. He wants you to be correct. You can collapse and if he's making you a little sad.
My spelling goes crazy when I use lorem ipsum. It's like, this is not a
yes, that's exactly what happened. It was like,
oh, I love the branding. That's awesome that it's you guys so have a mascot named Houston.
Oh, yeah. That was just born out of Nate. Again, we keep shouting him out because he's a weekend hacker. Like anytime weekend Nate emerges, something's good. And one of them was just like, let's have a little robot that talks to you with Create Astro. And then we got a new designer, Mark, who made a full sticker pack of like all the emotions. There's like Houston party, Houston crying, Houston happy, Houston upside down. There's so many. And he made like custom Houstons for all of us. He made one with a little like marker and a whiteboard and glasses. He made like a princess one for Erica. It's so good.
That's awesome.
So we're taking it far. We're taking it to the stars.
Do you know how to get Houston to show up? So I installed the extension and I have it set as my theme right now.
Yeah.
Where should I see?
It's in those like collapsing windows under the file tree. There's a Houston tab and you can just click on that.
Oh, does it have to be inside of an Astro file?
I don't know. I thought it was like any file or at least an Astro project. I'm going to install this now. Let me make sure. I actually don't have it on my work computer because I have my own theme called Slinkwave from back in the day. But
nice. While you're doing that, we can get ready for our picks and plugs section, where we pick something that we enjoyed recently, and then we plug something that we want to share, a community that we're in, something we built, etc. Amy.
Yes.
Do you have picks and plugs that you would like to share?
I do have one, but my pick and plug was not one that I was going to pick. I had a great one yesterday, and I thought I should write this down. I forgot. Oh, funny. So I'm making this pick because James said you should make this a pick. Shout out to you, James. But I have an app on my computer called Yoink, Y-O-I-N-K. It's a Mac app. And the fantastic thing is it serves like a little drawer, a little shelf when I'm clicking and dragging files. So if you've ever had a situation where you're in Finder or you have files on the desktop, you're like, okay, I need to move this into another directory. Let me go find that thing and then stick it in there. Or you're trying to move between different files and you're trying to manage like mouse, when do I drag? Anyways, with Yoink, what you can do is you can drag files into the drawer, go find what you're looking for, and then drag it over from that shelf. So it serves as a nice little holding place when you're trying to move stuff around. It's very helpful. Ooh, and for my plug, I'm going to plug this because it is still the month of December, but last year, James and I did 24 JavaScript and CSS challenges in the advent of CSS and the advent of JS.com. And we repackaged those this year. So even though it is the 16th of December, they are still available. It's evergreen content. The challenges themselves are not Christmas themed. So you really could have Christmas all year if you wanted to. But it was a fun project to work on. And so I'd encourage you to check it out. Again, the challenges are free. So even if you don't want to pay for the solutions, you can still get something out of it.
Love it. By the way, Ben, I did find, I had to restart VS Code, which someone gave me the reminder of that. So I restarted VS Code and then I did find where it was and I found Houston. And Houston is very happy in one of my projects. So that's a good thing.
You have nothing open.
Yes. It's funny you say that. I did check it in a window where I did have something open, but as I was talking, the window I did have open does not have a project open. So yes, very happy.
Yeah. Fun fact, it was actually a web component that was made by one of our docs people, Chris. And I think you can just like put Houston on any web page if you install that web component and he'll just float around.
He'll be happy though.
You'll be happy if you don't pass any emotions.
Houston is the new Clippy.
Yes.
Maybe? Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be huge.
That's the goal.
Cool. I can go next on picks and plugs. So I'm going to pick a platform called Superbase.
Astro?
Not Astro. Although it would make for a great comparison with Astro.
Remix, wait.
No, not Remix. No, I wouldn't do that. But, so Superbase, I've actually been using it a ton the last couple of weeks. So I've been working a lot on the Learn, Build, Teach Discord bot and the Learn, Build, Teach website. And I was using PlanetScale, which is a company that I used to work at, and Prisma, which is a great combination. But I really wanted to build an admin dashboard inside of our front end. And like once you get into SvelteKit, now they just launched SvelteKit Auth or Svelte Auth. So that's something I want to check out. But like Supabase has database, it's got authentication, it's got storage, all these things. And so I've migrated both the Discord bot, Node.js, TypeScript backend, and the SvelteKit application to use Supabase for everything. And last night in like 30 minutes, I updated to where when people share content, I was loading their like huge images where we display the content on our site, just because I was using the URL from their OG image directly. But now I've uploaded that image to Supabase, and they just launched a feature where you can do image optimization around it. So transformation similar to something like Cloudinary. And so I'm going to try to optimize the images on when we display that content on our site, learnbuildteach.com. So anyway, it's been a ton of fun to work with. The Supabase SDK is really nice. And they just went through, today's the last day of their launch week 6, I think. So It's been fun to see some of their progression and updates and stuff. So anyways, Supabase is super cool. And then on the same lines, I will plug the Learn, Build, Teach Discord community. That's one of my big goals, is just to continue to engage there, help people there, and support learners, developers, creators, etc., which is where a lot of the like work on the site and the bot comes from. So learnbuildteach.com.
They both had two really big launch weeks this week. So this week is like Christmas for everybody.
I know. There's gifts everywhere.
That's cool. All right. I've been scrambling thinking about picks.
A whiteboard?
Oh, yeah. If you go to beholmes.dev/whiteboard, you'll see my whiteboard if anyone wants. I need to get kickback on that. I didn't know you could, but that would be a fun little like promo to do if anyone gets it. Huge whiteboard person. But yeah, my pick wasn't even going to be my whiteboard. I was going to say the Arc browser that I've been using because it's so good. It's kind of a predictable pick, but I'm here to say like it's worth the hype. Try it out. Find someone with like an invite code or something, because the one thing about the web is it's such a vertical thing. Like I care a lot more about scrolling than I do about like horizontal room. And they like got rid of the nav bar on the top. So when you're on your laptop, you can actually see everything. Like I'm on my MacBook Air and it's like all of its bookmarks in like chubby Chrome tabs. And I'm like, I just want that gone. I just want it removed. And that's what it lets you do. And everything else is well designed. It's very, I think it's made by a fancy browser company in Manhattan. So pretentiousness aside, it's a great browser. You should try it.
I had a session scheduled with Michael Chan, Chantastic, for him to kind of walk me through what Arc is and kind of onboard me, because I'm new. I have it downloaded, but I haven't actually used it. And then that fell through because of, I think I was traveling at the time. So I need to get back and actually do a hands-on tutorial with Arc at some point to get acclimated to it, because I've heard nothing but really, really good things.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really need a tutorial. You just kind of play with it. And it's like, oh, everything's kind of where I expected. Like Command T tab, Command L to see the URL. Because it does hide the full URL. Some people like that, some people don't. Whatever. I like it because I just want to like collapse the sidebar and just have like a full window of the web. It feels like everything's an app when you do that. Mm-hmm. It just feels nice. But yeah. Oh, picks. Plug.
Yeah.
That was the other P word. I will say shout out to XElement, because Fuzzy said it in the chat. It's a way to build web components in Astro really easily. So if you want to use something that's like a really lightweight alternative that works with Astro, it's great. You can try it. I think it's like Astro-XElement. But personal plug, WTW.dev. That's where all my whiteboard videos are. You can subscribe to YouTube, Twitter, anywhere that you want to get them in your inbox. And I do 1 to 2 videos a week, depending on if it's a holiday week. So check it out. We have a lot of fun with that.
Sweet. Awesome. This has been so fun. I feel like I haven't like widely smiled this much with like announcements and features and stuff. This has been a ton of fun. I'm glad we did it. I'm really excited also to see like just what Astro looks like in the next 6 months, year, etc. Right. Especially with you kind of already teasing some stuff, at least that's being acknowledged, not that it's committed to in any time frame, but to know that those things that people are talking about are being considered and looked at and trying to figure out how to get them in the right shape for people to take advantage of and love is extremely exciting. So thank you for joining us. I had a ton of fun today.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm glad everyone's as excited about Astro as I am. And it's usually true. It's awesome. So, I mean, thanks for having me. This was great.
Love it. All right. That is going to wrap it up for this episode. If you're listening in a podcatcher and you enjoyed it, please leave us a rating and review to help other people find the podcast too, so we can continue to have amazing conversations like we did today. In the meantime, that's all we got.